Welcome to Raw Talk here on M88. I'm your host, Yo. Thanks so much for joining us this evening. There's a little more of the Carol of the Bells. I like that version of it, so I just thought I'd play it again. And it is the last Sunday before Christmas, fourth Sunday of Advent. Right before I came here tonight, we got to light the fourth Advent candle on our Advent log this evening. It was a special time with my family. I love the season of Advent. And then, of course, lighting the Christmas candle, the Christ candle, this coming Wednesday. Man, I can't believe Christmas is that close. It's absolutely unbelievable. And speaking of Christmas, one thing I wanted to mention to you guys, be sure to listen this week before Wednesday. We're going to be doing some more re-gifting. Your chance to get some free stuff from M88, you know, with the rough economy. We figured, we'll re-gift some stuff. So we got some CDs, DVDs, T-shirts, books, and more to give away. And when you get a chance to go through the M88 re-gifting box, you'll also have an opportunity to qualify for an autographed guitar from The Wrecking or an autographed skate deck from Disciple. And we'll be giving those away Christmas Eve. So listen Monday and Tuesday to get a chance to go through the M88 re-gifting box. And then on Christmas Eve, we'll give away the autographed stuff. So we'll be doing that just as a way to wish you guys a Merry, Merry Christmas with some M88 re-gifts. Well, here it is, last Sunday before Christmas. We're just about a week and a half away from a little bit more than that until the new year rolls in. And, you know, whenever a new year rolls around, people start wondering about the future. And when they start thinking about the future, they start thinking about prophecy. And when they start thinking about prophecy, they start thinking about the Left Behind series. Just kidding. Some people do. Not all of them. But so tonight I thought, well, let's talk a little bit about prophecy and talk about it maybe on a more personal level than you're used to. Let's talk about it in ways that can apply to our daily lives. And so I brought in a guy I'm so honored to have on the show tonight, Pastor Steve Williams from City Church of Albuquerque, a guy who has traveled the world and talking on this very issue of prophecy. He's talked about it a lot at our church. And just a special treat to have you on the show today, Steve. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's a privilege to be here, Yo. I'm honored that you would ask me to come and participate in this.
Well, you know, you seem like the right guy for this particular topic as we talk about the ministry of prophecy and what that means for people, especially as we get ready for, you know, a new year. It seemed like with everything that's happened this year, you know, all the travails that the nation has gone through, all the uncertainty that's floating around, it just seems such an appropriate time to talk about this issue to encourage people in a time that they need it so much. And, you know, as we're talking, if you guys got questions, this is the guy to ask, 505-338-5790 for your questions about the ministry of prophecy as we talk about this tonight. And, you know, let's just start off by defining some terms, Pastor Williams, because as a writer, that's generally how I like to approach things, is let's lay the groundwork and define some terms. Define for us the ministry of prophecy. What exactly does that term prophecy mean?
Well, there's a lot of questions that go along with prophecy, because most of the time when you talk about prophecy, people jump into the end times things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's really not the focus of New Testament prophecy. You know, in Acts chapter 2, I'm going to pour my spirit out on all flesh. Your sons and daughters are going to prophesy. And so the whole thought of prophecy is to be able to speak forth the word of the Lord underneath the unction of the Holy Spirit that will build people and establish them into the purposes of God for their lives.
And that doesn't always necessarily mean predicting the future. I mean, a lot of people just think of prophecy, oh, that's where you predict the future. But that's not always the case. Yet, why is that the most, why do you think that's the most prominent, you know, thought when it comes to prophecy? Like, oh, well, if someone prophesies over me, I'm know what's going to happen next week.
Well, there's something inside of every one of us that we want to know the future.
Mm.
And there's another side of it that we want to control the future.
Mm.
And so there's a I could offend some people by saying this, but there's
hey, it's Rod Talk, go ahead.
There's a carnal curiosity inside of every one of us that we want to know what's out there in the future and grab a hold of it. And sometimes we even take it to be an attitude of empowerment that we know something that somebody else doesn't know. And I think a lot of times that appeals to pride. And sometimes we're just not right about that.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, when you study prophecy throughout history, every generation thought they were the last generation.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, and today with the ability to communicate like we have, write books like we do, there's more and more people writing about it. And of course, they're right, they think.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, when, if we're wrong, what is the next three generations going to think when they look back in time and say, yeah, those guys missed it too?
Right. That could happen too, because it's happened before. And this whole area of the gift of prophecy, of course, falls under the greater umbrella of spiritual gifts.
Right.
And, you know, that's kind of a contentious issue in itself. Or not even contentious, maybe is the right word. Maybe more uncomfortable for some people. The, you know, the whole issue of spiritual gifts can be uncomfortable. And one of the things that I thought of, and I don't know how familiar you are, you know, with the dispensational thinking, but that's one of the things that comes up. And so I thought, well, let's discuss that, you know, again, to kind of lay a foundation for this, the whole idea of dispensationalism and what that means for the spiritual gifts. I mean, can you explain that a little bit so people can kind of get familiar with the two sides there?
I'm not 100% articulate on the dispensational point of view.
Right.
But a cessationist point of view believes that the gifts of the Spirit ceased operation if you take it to its extreme with the death of the first century apostles.
Mm-hmm.
And so they say, and now we have the Bible, and so we don't really need the activity of the Spirit of God today. But the truth is, I mean, my understanding of what the truth is you can't find anywhere in the Bible to justify that point of view.
Right.
They take one scripture out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and they say, you know, it's going to cease. Well, has knowledge ceased? Has love ceased? Have all those things ceased? So why do we say that the gifts of the Spirit have ceased? You know, if the Holy Spirit is active in the world today, then there's a supernatural side of the Spirit of God that is miraculous and that reveals who our God is to people. And the truth is I don't think anybody comes to Christ without revelation of the Holy Spirit. Because he convicts us of our sin, and he reveals who Jesus is. There's a revelation aspect of it that we all realize that we need to know the living God and that we need to get right with him. And that is actually a function of the prophetic atmosphere of the Spirit of God. Whether somebody speaks it directly to you through the preaching of the word, through the sharing of testimonies, or, you know, God just shows up in your life and shows it to you. You know, there's a prophetic atmosphere there.
You know, some people, especially in the Western mentality of the church, might say, well, we can say that either the gifts have ceased or, you know, they were dispensed at certain times for certain needs of the church as the church grew, that they needed those gifts to help, to, you know, jumpstart the church, and then slowly they went away as the church developed, or, you know, whatever. There may be a Western mentality saying, well, I can say that the gifts are no longer in function anymore because I don't see them. I don't experience them. I don't see them in operation on a regular basis the way I do, say, in the book of Acts. You know, some people say, well, the church today is no longer like it was in the book of Acts. Ergo, those things must not be happening anymore. How do we respond to that kind of viewpoint when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit?
That's a pretty small, narrow point of view. I mean, I've been privileged the last few years to travel the globe and work in nations of the earth where there's not a lot of money and not everybody has a Bible, you know, and there's still great activity of the Spirit of God going on. And there's some nations that we are seeing powerfully impacted with the gospel. And almost all of the impact is coming through Spirit-filled churches in these nations. And so I think that's a very narrow point of view.
Now, a lot of people might also feel, well, the gifts of the Spirit simply make me uncomfortable. You know, it's like, that's kind of extreme Christianity. I'm more comfortable singing the hymns, or not even hymns anymore today, more like choruses or, you know, whatever.
Right.
I like the old hymns. I like the new songs, too. Don't get me wrong. You know, I like singing the songs. I like hearing the sermon. I like having my cup of grape juice for communion and then, you know, going home and going on with my life. You know, when you start talking about spiritual gifts, well, you know, that's more church than I need as a Christian, or that's just not for me. You know, I mean, how do we approach this uncomfortableness that a lot of people have today with the gift, more so in Western culture than other cultures?
Well, This is a statement that I make that gets me in trouble sometimes, so I'll throw this out here,
okay,
too. Most of us want a God that we can own and control and tell what to do, and we're comfortable as long as we can approach him from that point of view. But if you look at the ministry of Jesus and the ministry in the book of Acts of the early apostles, which was the activity of the Holy Spirit in a full dimension, you know, they were asked to do things all the time that weren't comfortable. And there were the call to the supernatural. And the activity of the Holy Spirit went way beyond a public gathering and went out into the marketplace where people were living every day. Jesus functioned into the marketplace with the anointing of the Holy Spirit doing supernatural things. And then he said to us, you guys go do the same thing.
Yeah, I was reading in the book of Acts. Let's see, where are we doing that? Oh, yeah, for our DJ Bible study that we do each week right before we do our meeting. We're going through the book of Acts now. And I was struck by something that I never really noticed before. I love that, you know, when you read through, like, oh, I've read this like 500 times. That's never jumped out at me. But maybe it was just the unique circumstances surrounding this particular Christmas season. But it was when Peter and John were going to the temple, and there's that beggar, the crippled beggar. And, you know, he's calling out for alms, and Peter and John turn to him and say, look at us. And he looks at them and says, I don't have silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then they hold out their hand and say, walk. And he gets up and walks. And what struck me about that was, here we are, so many people are talking about the need that we all have. It's a tough economy. We don't have as much discretionary funds. The nation is in trouble, it doesn't have a direction, you know, all this stuff is going on, and people are starting to feel the fear and uncertainty that causes them to withdraw inwards. And I was thinking how unique it was that Peter and John, you know, admitted, hey, I don't got money, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And that really got me thinking about, what do I have to give that comes from my relationship with Christ? And you know, I'll be honest with everyone, all right? I was kind of sad because things didn't instantly jump out at me. And the first thing that jumped out at me is like, well, in order to give that way, I really need to start investing more in my relationship with Christ, because I can't
Absolutely.
Give what I don't have.
Right.
And I think that's what resonated most with me, is that they were giving out what they had, an amazing relationship with Christ, being indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And I was saying, can't really say. I know I have enough of that to give out, but I want to. And that just got me excited, about, you know, all these things about the gifts of Spirit, the ministry that we have, each of us having a role to play. It's not just the, you know, leaders of the church, but being able to give what it is that we have through our relationship with Christ. It just got me stoked to see that happening. And they gave it so freely.
Right.
And I just thought that was, I don't know, I just thought it was cool.
That was normal life to them.
Right. That's what I was trying to touch
okay.
on. Yeah.
That's normal Christianity.
I want it to be normal for me.
It should be.
Yeah.
It should be for all of us. See, we've accepted abnormal so long that when the normal shows up, we question it. And in the reality is you read through the book of Acts, you read through the Gospels, the miraculous was the realm of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit at his baptism, you know? And then he said, I'm going to send that Spirit on you.
Right.
I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you a counselor. I'm going to send you power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And so that's normal Christianity. It's abnormal not to function in the miraculous.
Yeah, so many times you hear people say, oh, I wish we could get back to the good old days of the church, like the book of Acts. They're movers and shakers back then. Things were happening. If only we could get back and have the church. You know, we have this idyllic view of the church from the book of Acts, because we read it. It's like, man, that's amazing. Look at the stuff they did. That doesn't happen anymore. I wish today could be more like then. Well, it could be, right? I mean, there's no reason it couldn't be. So what is the difference? I mean, why are we having trouble continuing that same legacy and instead look back and say, those were the good old days. I wish I could recapture them.
Well, because this is one of my sayings, the good old days are in the future.
Hey, amen to that.
The best is yet to come. There's a principle in Scripture. You know, Jesus saved the best wine for last. Scripture in Ecclesiastes, I think it's chapter 8, says the end of a thing is better than the beginning of a thing. And so, you know, what we saw happen in the book of Acts is really a prototype and a picture of what will happen in the end times generations, that there will be yet a greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit and a greater activity of the Holy Spirit in the earth today.
Which should be us.
It should be us, and it is us. You know, we tend to dwell on the negative, and we are soaked with the media that doesn't have good news, and we let that influence and mold our minds more than we let the Word of God mold our minds and more than we let the Scriptures mold our minds. And, you know, I mean, I catch myself not wanting to change. You know, we want to stay the same, and we want more to go on without
us having to invest in it.
Yeah, we have to invest in it.
Right.
I mean, Jesus said this: ask and you'll receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. If you do those things, you're going to find those things. And then he said this, he said, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for it? And so there needs to be a cry in our hearts: God, there's more. I want the much more. I want the endowment of power from on high. I don't want to just read about it. I want to function in it. And so, but there has to come that hunger inside. And we were having a leaders meeting in our church not long ago, and one of the young men on our staff said, you know, where there's humility, there's hunger. I wrote that down. I said, I'm going to preach that someday. Humble people are hungry. That's what I find in poor countries. People are humble and they're hungry. They're hungry for God. Their hope is in God. See, in the United States and in Western culture, we've let everything else become God to us, and we're not ready to admit that we've done that. But I think that God is shaking things up. And in the shaking process, it says in Hebrews 12, everything that's shakable is going to be shaken, and the unshakable will remain. The unshakable kingdom will remain. And so I just think a function of the kingdom of God is supernatural activity of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I was just thinking while you're talking how often most of us say we'd like to see something happen, but we feel like it's the responsibility of somebody else to do it. You know, we stand around thinking, who's going to do this? Come on, someone needs to fix things or make things better, or, you know, make these things happen so we can be more like the book of Acts and the early church. Someone's got to do it, but we always feel like it should be someone else. You know, which kind of leads me back to, you know, what we're talking about tonight, this whole idea of the ministry of prophecy. Some people might feel like, well, the ministry of prophecy is for prophets. Those guys in the robes, the bathrobes that, you know, stand out and
they have a wandering eye. They look weird.
Yeah, they look weird. They might smell a little bit because they don't shower as often as regular people because they're so busy prophesying. That's who the ministry of prophecy is for. That's the stereotype. I've never seen anyone like that, to be honest. But, you know, you see pictures and, you know, movies and stuff. That's generally kind of what they look like.
Right.
So people say, well, that's for prophets. And, you know, they look to the Old Testament and see those guys, those are the guys that did the ministry of prophecy. Well, is that the case? I mean, is prophecy just for, quote-unquote, prophets? Or who qualifies as a prophet?
Well, if you there's a difference between a prophet mm-hmm. and the gift of prophecy.
Mm.
You know, the Bible's pretty plain about that. The church is built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, with Jesus being the cornerstone. That's Acts chapter 2, I think it is, you know. We have in Ephesians 4:11, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, who do the equipping of the saints. Or the actual Greek word is katechismo, which is a medical term for adjusting a broken bone. Or it was used to Peter and John when they were mending their nets. And so it's kind of a equipping ministry. And that's hands-on. That's relational. And see, the function of leadership in a church is to train people to do the ministry of Jesus. That's the prophet works with apostles and pastors and teachers. And I personally am really strong in the local church realm for the function of prophecy and the gift of in the office of a prophet. I think outside of there's really no checks and balances and no accountability and get into a danger zone.
Mm.
And so I'm really strong in the local church. I'm strong on these things functioning well within the local church. The prophecy is anybody who's been born again and is filled with the Spirit can and should function with a prophetic anointing upon their lives.
Now, right there, some people are thinking, what? Because I don't know how to do that.
Revelation 19:10 says it's the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. It's the testimony that Jesus is right there with you. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody's saying, thus saith the Lord, and has all this weird language and speaks in King James English. I mean, that's just, that's totally irrelevant.
Right.
You know, in fact, I don't like people to say, thus saith the Lord. I like people to understand that God speaks in terms that everybody understands. I have my own children. I speak to them, and, you know, I don't go speaking to them in Greek and in Hebrew and in, you know, and in tongues and another language. I speak to them in a language. And God speaks to all of us in our own language. He speaks to us in a language we understand. He's our Father. But the spirit of prophecy is a life-giving spirit. That's what it means. Pneuma, the breath of God. It has his life in it. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life. And so the church should be a life-giving community.
Well, we're talking with Pastor Steve Williams from City Church of Albuquerque, talking about the ministry of prophecy, maybe something that you've never really thought about before. And if it stirs up some questions, please ask him, 505-338-5790. You know, I have all my questions I wanted to ask him. That's the nice thing about having a radio show. When I heard you talking about this way early this year, talking about the ministry of prophecy, like, that's interesting. I have questions for him. I'll invite him to be a guest on my show so I can ask all of my questions. It's a little ruse to get him in so I can have him all to myself and talk. But I don't want to hog up the entire time. So if you do have questions about this, 505-338-5790, call in and ask your questions about this ministry of prophecy. And, you know, when I heard you talking about this, the thing that struck me where I kind of felt like, oh, duh, I can't believe I didn't realize that before, was the idea that this is something that we should all be doing to encourage each other.
Right.
I had fallen into the very comfortable idea of prophecy is something that prophets do to predict a future for someone else.
Right.
That was as far as I thought of prophecy. And then when I heard you talking about it and – you know, no offense, but I went and checked on the scriptures that you were using for that, and I was like, well, let me check that for myself. And I was looking through it, and again, it was one of those things where I was looking through them, and I was thinking, how did I miss this? I don't understand how I'm misunderstanding this before, that prophecy is a ministry that we can all do to encourage and edify each other. And that got me excited. I was like, well, I could do that.
Right.
I want to do that.
Absolutely.
I want to encourage and edify other people. That's cool, and it just got me really excited about it. But, you know, when did you realize, I mean, did you come to a point where you realized this is something that everyone can do and should do, and it's not just predicting the future, but it's just encouraging each other?
I was converted in the 70s in the Jesus People days.
I was born in the 70s.
You were born in the 70s, so I was born again in the 70s.
Yeah, all right.
In fact, it's 35 years ago. And I had a powerful visitation of the Spirit of God in my life. I wasn't around church. I wasn't around preaching. I was driving down the road in my car, and this presence came upon me when I was sitting at a red light and convicted me of my sin, scared me to death. I thought I was dying, and there was no question in my mind where I would go. So there was something supernatural that happened in my life, even meeting Christ. And so there's always been this supernatural dimension that I've walked in, you know, and because of my training and discipling and mentoring, I understand the concepts of spiritual authority and the healthy life-giving church. And so it's just been kind of a life changing process that's worked. And I've had several, I would call, encounters with God in my life over the years where he's revealed more and more and more of himself to me. And I had one of those encounters when I was in college. I had a real visitation of God one day in my life. And that radically changed my inside. You know, it was like the fire of God came in me. It's like what I read about in history books with Finney. And John the Baptist said this about Jesus. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And there's always been this burning zeal inside of me to function healthily in the realm of the supernatural. And so, actually, it's been part of my Christian life for over 30 years.
That's awesome. I wish that was true of more people. How do you explain to people when maybe for the first time they encounter this idea that prophecy is more than predicting the future? I mean, how do you kind of break it down to them and explain to them, look, this is something that you can do. This isn't something that's all crazy and kooky. And this is something that you should do to help build up other believers. I mean, how do you walk them through the process of understanding the idea of the ministry of prophecy being something that should be normal for everyday Christians?
I teach it and give a biblical perspective on it. And, you know, it says in Psalms 139, I'm going to read it, verse 17, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. And when I awake, I'm still with you. And in Jeremiah 29, it says this, I know the thoughts that I have toward you, thoughts of good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. And so there's a reality that's always going on, that God is big enough to think about every one of us and think thoughts toward us that are good and not evil, and they're beaming down from heaven all the time. They're more than the sand of the sea. And so the prophetic ministry is getting a hold of a few of those thoughts of what God's thinking about you and speaking them to you. And those thoughts should edify you. They should build you up, or they should encourage you, call you, challenge you, call up what's inside of you, or they should comfort you, which means you speak closely to anyone and carry them through difficult days. Because that's what the Word of God does for people. So it takes it just off of pages or words on pages and brings it into life and reality to people that ministers to them right where they're at today.
I was having a conversation with some of the student ministry pastors here, and they're talking about, I was just listening on this conversation because I thought it was interesting, but they're talking about, you know, in counseling, sometimes, you know, one of them was saying, well, I have the gift of discernment because sometimes I'll know something about a person that I shouldn't know. You know, they never told me anything about it, but I just get this intuition and say, you know, I think this is what you need right now. And he was saying, well, you know, and so that's just the gift of discernment. And I was thinking, after, you know, hearing some of the things that you said, and going, again, no offense, but actually checking scripture about what's said, like, that sounds almost like the ministry of prophecy being able to do that. You know, what's the difference between discernment and prophecy? Like, my understanding for discernment, and I may be incorrect on this, discernment is being able to identify false teaching from true teaching, from being able to tell what is from the Spirit of God and what is from, you know, the spirit of the enemy. And I only recently came to this kind of delineation between it, thinking, well, and then the ministry of prophecy, being able to encourage and edify another person by having an intuition into what their needs might be. Mm-hmm. Is that an accurate breakdown of that, or am I kind of?
I think that, you know, it says desire spiritual gifts, mm-hmm. especially that you may prophesy. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 14.
I have that one written down.
But anyhow, so the whole thought process of desiring spiritual gifts is to desire the increased manifestation of the Holy Spirit's activity. That's what it means. And discernment is being able to see and perceive or distinguish or differentiate between the personality of the Spirit that's behind different manifestations. And I think you have the Spirit of God. You have a human spirit, because we're spirit, soul, and body, and then you have the evil spirit. And so discernment kind of speaks into it. And, you know, I mean, I've been counseling with people and look right at them and say, you know what? You need to do three things. One, and I don't know what I'm going to say, and I say it. Two, three, and it's been the Word of God to them that has just opened up their lives and help them. And so it's not just something, you know, the prophetic ministry is not just something that goes on behind a microphone in a church service.
Right.
It can happen in the marketplace. It can happen when you're counseling with people. It's just the revelation of the Holy Spirit for that person. I say this, just the prophetic spirit or the spirit of prophecy is to have a life-giving, life-changing word from the heart and mind of God that will build people. We grab a few of those thoughts that are beaming down that'll build people and establish them in the purposes of God for their lives. Now, there could be some direction, could be some correction, could be all of those things, but it will always build people.
One of the things that occurred to me when I was listening to you talk about this, and again, doing my own study, is I'm a pragmatic guy. I'm a practical guy. Like, okay, this got me excited. Like, I do want to encourage people. I do want to build them up. I do want to edify them. Okay, what do I do? I mean, how does someone start to do this?
I had those same questions many years ago. And a friend of mine who was actually, I thought, was kind of a prophetic guy. He had a real sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. And I said to him, how do you begin to function in these realms? You know, I want to do it. I want to be a voice for God. I don't want to just be an echo that repeats something that everybody else says.
Right.
I want to have a voice from God coming in me and through me that will help people. And so he very kindly said, well, you should probably do some fasting and some praying. And I said, fasting? What's that? You know, so he explained to me the concept of going without food. And so I started fasting and praying. And I went through a whole season in my life many years ago where I consumed the Bible. I mean, I was a new Christian, and I had this hunger for God. And I actually would literally sit down. I read the New Testament every week.
Wow.
And because I didn't know God. I mean, I didn't know the Bible. And so when he redeemed me, I had this hunger inside of me. And so I was just, I just consume it. I just read and read and read and get the Word of God inside of me. And so I would tell people, you know, the Holy Spirit does not contradict Scripture. You know, and so, but you got to get the Word of God in you. It's got to be something that you ingest. It's got to be something that you hunger for. And so you've got to get the thoughts of God inside of you before you can give them to somebody else.
I actually have a comment/question I want to make on that. But first we have Samantha on the line. Samantha, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Samantha?
Hi. Sorry, I have a bit of a cold.
That's okay.
I was calling in to say I recently, my cousin Everett, who lives in Illinois, I was able to minister to him just by texting and talking on the phone. And I remember being so nervous and wondering, you know, what do I say and how do I say it? And I was flipping through my Bible and I ran into Matthew, the book of Matthew, and it says, you know, you don't have to worry about what you're going to say because when the time comes, God's going to give you the words. And it's really true. And now my cousin is a born-again Christian.
Wow. That's cool.
That is awesome, Samantha.
Yeah, Samantha, thank you so much for calling in and sharing that. I'm sure that's going to be an encouragement to a lot of young people who might be thinking, oh, prophecy is for old people. No offense.
See, and it's scary. And
yeah.
Right now I'm working with another kid that I know
Cool. Through
my friend Brody. So it's kind of scary, but it's exciting at the same time. And whenever I get discouraged, I know where I can turn to.
Man, Samantha, cool. I'm so glad that you called in and shared that. Thank you so much for doing that, and I hope you get over your cold really quick.
Oh, thank you.
Have a Merry Christmas, Samantha.
You too.
All right, Samantha calling in. I'm just so blessed to hear that. And if you got a comment you want to share or a question, give us a call, 505-338-5790. We're talking with Pastor Steve Williams from City Church of Albuquerque about the ministry of prophecy, which, you know, Samantha's pretty excited about. That's cool to hear. So if you got a question, 505-338-5790. I bet you never thought about text message prophesying. Has that ever occurred to you?
Well, I'm trying to keep up with technology somewhat. And, you know, I can type. I can type, you know, 12 words a minute with about 3 mistakes. You know,
but, that's not bad at all.
But, you know, texting, one great thing about texting is you can go back and read what you're doing and correct your mistakes before you sent them out. But, you know, words communicate.
Right.
Spoken, written, typed, emailed, they communicate to people. And if they're words from God, they will edify them. They will see people come into the kingdom.
Yeah, that was really cool. I'm so glad Samantha called to share that. And you're talking about ingesting the Word of God. And the thing I wanted to ask or address was, okay, ingesting the Word of God. People are probably thinking, I listen to Christian radio all the time. How come I can't function in the gifts of Spirit? Or I go to church Sunday, Wednesday, and sometimes on Saturday and listen to a guy. But is it more than that? I mean, the reason I'm asking that is because I've always been a big promoter of like, yeah, that's great. I think it's awesome we have all those resources here in America. Don't let it keep it from you doing the work. from you going into the Bible, studying it for yourself, looking up verses, cross-referencing them, looking up stuff in a Bible dictionary, whatever. You do some of the work. I think it's too easy for us today that we just let someone else do all the work, and then we wonder, well, I hear all these great things, but it doesn't work for me.
Well, that's because we've raised irresponsible people.
Oh.
You know, people don't grow up until they become responsible. And people need to become responsible for their own soul.
Right.
You know, John Wesley, when he had his small group ministry in the Methodist movement way back a few years ago, he used to ask people this all the time. How goes your soul? What's going on inside of you? And, you know, I mean, I love Christian music, love worship music, but it doesn't renew my mind unless it's the scriptures.
Right.
You know, we have a responsibility to do those things. We've got to wash ourselves with the word. You know, we've got to renew our mind with the word of God. Ephesians says we have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And so there's something that we have got to do to take responsibility for. You read through the book of Acts, they continued daily in apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. And so there has to be this daily thing that's going on where you feed that hunger. And what you feed grows.
Right.
You know? I mean, the reality is, this young lady, Samantha, that just called, she's ready for the next one. Mm-hmm. And then she'll be ready for the one after that and the one after that, because she has gotten out of the boat and has started to walk on the water a little bit. And she's realizing, even at her age, that God will use her to touch other people and bring them into the kingdom.
You know, for a long, long time, and please don't take this wrong, anyone, not trying to make myself sound oh cool or anything. This is just something that I was convicted about. Like from about senior in high school through most of college, I refused to ever get a Bible that had any sort of commentary in it, like study Bibles or, you know, I wanted a Bible that was like scripture and maybe some cross references. And my reasoning behind that was I got so frustrated when I would lead a Bible study, and I'd say, what do you think about this? And they immediately would go down to their little commentary at the bottom of the Bible. Well, it says here that means... I was like, no. Not, what do you think about it? And they get a blank look on their face, and then they go back, well, it says here that... And that just so frustrated me. So for years, I refused to have a study Bible because I wanted to form my own opinions about what I was reading and make sure that what I was thinking lined up with Scripture. And it's only been like in the past 3 years that I've even had any sort of study Bible with commentary and all the other stuff in my house. I finally got to the point, I was like, you know what? I've been doing this for years. I know what I think about the Bible. Now I'm ready to hear what other people think about the Bible. And you know, one of my problems was so often people are just content with what other people think about the Bible instead of forming their own opinions. But that's a whole other Raw Talk. We won't get into that. We have Justin on the line. Justin, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Justin?
Just listening to y'all, I definitely have an opinion over the prophecy. I've noticed that the Word of God has not been connected with God anymore. I do a lot of ministering down here in Hobbs, New Mexico, and just through reading scriptures to people or anything, it's just not connected with the Word with God anymore. It's like we take the whole Spirit out of the Word,
and
therefore people cannot see the living Word of God. And that's how prophesizing has gotten so dead these days, I've noticed, especially with teenagers of my age. And it's just devastating.
Why do you think that is, Justin? Do you have any reason why you think that's happening?
Oh, certainly. I believe that it's okay just to say a bunch of words. We as Christians, we've gone through the road of Damascus, some of us have. We've gone through conversion, everything, yet we can't even talk to a person without bringing in the Spirit of God because we have a distinction of knowing that He's there, but we just give them words, and we do not give them life with it. We do not give them emotion. So through prophecy, it's just a lot of giving words, but these days it needs to be given with Spirit, and it needs to be alive.
Well, you know, what would you say about that, Pastor Steve?
I would say that everything we do as a Christian needs to be motivated by love.
Definitely.
You know, that we've got, you know, I mean, if you don't love people and you don't care about the people that you're reaching out toward, you're going to be this symbol. You know, there's nothing clear coming out of your lives. And so people know if you love them or not.
Definitely.
You know, they might look at you, you know, nod their head, but when they walk away, if you don't love them and don't care about them, you know, you're not going to touch their heart. And so everything that we do needs to have an element of faith working in us. And in Galatians, it says this, faith works. The old King James says faith worketh, but the Amplified Bible says it's activated and motivated by love. And so loving people is more than just slapping them on the back. It's deeply caring about them, and it's serving them without expecting anything in return. Jesus, greatest model of love that's ever lived, he didn't come to be served, but he came to serve and give his life a ransom for many. And so, you know, when you love people and care for them, when you know what you're saying at the time may not ring the bell with them, but if you're really loving them, when you walk away, it will ring the bell.
Now, Justin, I'd have to ask, okay, we identify the problem here. What would you say would be the solution to this problem?
The solution to this problem is definitely love. Like Pastor said, definitely we need the motivation. We definitely need love. Definitely bring the Spirit of God to our conversations. Like the girl that was on the phone earlier said, it was her motivation whenever she read into Matthew about don't be worried whenever it comes time for the witnessing. God will give you the words, and everything just kind of flows. But it's because that she allowed God to come in. It's because that she put aside all of her plans. She let God come in, that the love of God and the Word of God came into parallel and to come into truth.
Well, thanks so much for calling in, Justin. I appreciate you sharing your thoughts on that. And you have a Merry Christmas, all right?
You what?
All right. Thanks, Justin. Well, 505-338-5790, 505-338-5790. If you have a question or comment that you'd like to share as we talk more about the ministry of prophecy with Pastor Steve Williams from City Church of Albuquerque. One of the things that occurred to me when we're talking with Samantha was how important it is for us to encourage young people in this.
Absolutely.
And again, everyone who listens to the program knows that I'm kind of hypocritical in this because I say, well, there's a problem with how we teach the youth today, but I don't feel called to be a youth pastor. So take this with a grain of salt. I understand that, you know, I'm not one running out and saying, I know how to solve this problem. I'm just saying, from what I have observed, we're very intent on teaching our youth about premarital sex, don't do drugs, don't drink a lot, party safe, go have a good time. And we don't get into, you know, my big thing, apologetics. I don't think that's taught enough to youth, especially before they go to college. Well, how can we encourage youth pastors or what can we encourage youth pastors in when it comes to this idea of helping to open up young people to the ministry of prophecy?
Well, I think number one is we get what we teach for. And so, you know, the reality is this, if you're not functioning in it yourself, you're not going to be able to help other people function in it. And so there has to come a dimension inside that says, you know what? I want this to be a reality in my life. I want it to be a reality in my young people's life. You know, and then we teach it and give them an opportunity to model it. You know, let them practice on each other. In the place of prayer, small groups, small group gatherings. You know, let them take some risks. I tell people this all the time. Doctors practice medicine. They're medical practitioners, and they just happen to practice on us, you know, and we let them. If we're sick, we're looking for something.
We don't let them. We pay them to practice on us.
Yeah, we pay them to practice on us, you know. And my mother was just in the hospital, and she was in the hospital because she was taking medicines that were conflicting to her, and she got toxic inside, and they had to get her cleaned out. But, you know, because there's several people working with her body at her age, and they're not talking to each other. But, you know, she had medicine practiced on her. Well, why don't we build an atmosphere with our young people that encourages them that maybe they can hear from God, and maybe their eyes can be opened up, and they can really have a revelation of the Holy Spirit and help them understand what visions are, and help them begin to walk into those things. Because when we talk about visions today, we think that they're, you know, MGM movie pictures and
Or they had too much Red Bull.
They had too much Red Bull, right. But there's a moment when the Holy Spirit drops mental pictures into you. It's in a split second about situations and events. And if you can learn how to discern that, you can start to walk into another realm in the prophetic ministry.
I've been scripting for Pastor Skip Heitzig, a series that he did called Minor Prophets in the Major Leagues. And one of the things that's intrigued me about this as I've listened to his teachings while I'm scripting out programs for him is going through, and I, to be honest, I love reading through the prophets of the Old Testament, both minor and the major prophets. But one of the things that intrigues me, and I don't know how people are responding to this series. I'm kind of hoping they're responding this way, that, wow, all these prophecies of the Old Testament, they're still relevant to us today. I mean, they were specific for Israel at the time, but there's principles there that still can encourage and edify us today. And that's just been reinforced more this time as I've been listening to him talk about it, yeah. You know, with this idea of the ministry of prophecy. I've gotten past the idea of, well, they predicted an event and it happened. End of story. But now I'm realizing, well, sure, it predicted an event and it happened, but that's not the end of the story. There are still principles in those prophecies that can encourage and edify me still today, even after a prophecy has been fulfilled. And one of the things I wanted to ask you about that is, how is that true with all the prophecies that were made about Christ?
Well,
you know, with his birth and, you know, all the stuff we're celebrating this year.
How can you you read the prophecies about Jesus and it's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
I mean, Isaiah 720, 30 years, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Behold, a virgin is going to conceive and bear a son, and we're going to call him Emmanuel. And here we are 700 and some years later at the birth of Christ, and those exact words are coming from an angel from heaven. It's giving revelation of what God is up to and what he intends to do. And, you know, see, the question we have to ask ourselves, does God speak today? The early church believed he spoke. Read the book of Revelation. Let him that has ears hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. And so is God speaking to us today? And I believe that he is.
If we only listen.
If we listen.
Okay.
You know, that there's fresh word from God that speaks into his purposes, into this generation. Every generation has their purpose and calling.
So then the question that naturally occurs to my mind, okay, he's speaking, if we'll listen, how do we listen to the voice of God, especially in the cacophony of distractions and noise that we have going on here in the 21st century? How can we make sure that we're listening and hearing?
Well, the psalmist said, be still and know that I am God.
Well, that's a foreign concept to just about everyone, especially my six-year-old. But
in quietness and confidence, his strength is revealed to us. And there has to come some place in our lives where we shut everything else off and wait upon him. And I have found that that's not normally when he speaks to me, but it puts me in a place where I can hear from him. And so we have to have that time in our life where we shut everything off and settle our souls down and get quiet and learn how to wait on him. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. So there's this waiting aspect where there's actually an exchange that takes place. The word renew in the Hebrew language actually means literally an exchange. We give him our weariness. He gives us his strength. And so, you know, there has to come something in our lives where we're tired of the noise and everything that's taking things from us instead of waiting on God who wants to invest himself into us.
Now, our world, our nation seems to be at a pivot point, a turning point, if you will. You know, there was so much anticipation and interest in the recent election. There's so much anxiety and uncertainty about what happens next. I can't remember a time where the atmosphere seems so electric with uncertainty, anxiety, and fear. You know, the economy is just part of that. Recent world events have fed into that with, you know, what's happening in Iran in North Korea. And, I mean, there's just all these things that with Russia, you know, some of the things that Russia's been up to and how they've been involved with stuff going on in the Middle East. Are they backing Iran to invade Israel? All this craziness going on. You know, people are starting to freak out. Well, it occurred to me that this whole concept, this whole benefit of the Ministry of Prophecy could be to speak to a world that's in desperate need of hope and comfort to help them. More than ever before, it seems like they would be ready to hear it. And you know, what would you say would be the best way to approach that? Because some people will be a little uncomfortable if you, like we were saying earlier, you run up and say, hey, God told me to tell you this. All right, hope that makes you feel better. See you later. You know, but how can we use this Ministry of Prophecy in such a time as this when it's so needed for hope and comfort and peace?
Well, this is a statement I make. You don't want to be an echo. You want to be a voice. And, you know, we need to be confident in God in the days that we're living in. You know, I mean, honestly, the news media should not be molding our minds and our lives. You know, everything we read on the internet should not be molding our minds and molding. They make their living spreading fear. That's what they do. That's how they make their living. They sell their advertising.
That's how it sells.
You know, let's get the greater trauma and get that on the news. And let's get people watching all of these things. Well, you know, believers need to be believers. We need to be believing that God is bigger than all the problems that are going on in the face of the earth, and that he really does rule and reign in the affairs of men, and that he has set me into this generation at this time, where I work at, in my neighborhood, to be a voice for him that actually has an element of faith and hope and confidence in it that calls people to return to God. God is trying to get our nation's attention. He really is. And if he has to shake up the economy and the government and everything else to get the attention of people to return to him, he's comfortable with that. We're not, but right. He is.
Yeah.
You know, last I checked, he doesn't have a headache, and he's not worried. You know, God's not chewing his fingernails. Oh, what are all these nations up to? What he's doing is pouring his spirit out on all flesh. That's what he's doing. Jesus is still building his church. And his church is supposed to be an offensive force in the earth, bringing the reality of the kingdom of heaven into earth. We should be praying continually, God, not our will, but your will be done. You know, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And it ought to be your kingdom come to me, in me, and through me to other people.
You know, it's interesting because I was talking with a financial expert recently about finances, and one of the things that she pointed out, and I loved her perspective on the whole thing, but she said, yeah, there's a crisis of confidence right now in the banks, financial institutions, but what's more tragic is there's a crisis of confidence in the kingdom of God right now, that there's a crisis of confidence in believers about God's economy and its ability to provide no matter what. And she said, if we really want to start things turn around, well, first of all, we got to regain our confidence in the kingdom of God. Then we can start worrying about the crisis of confidence that we see in the nation around us.
Right. I mean, Jesus said this, and this is a life verse for all of us. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. See, we've equated blessings with stuff and materialism and where we live and what we drive and what we wear. But Jesus said that's not life. Life doesn't consist of the abundance of things that we possess. Life consists from knowing God. And what we need people, as Daniel said, you know, they're going to be these people that know God and are strong and do exploits. And so we need to return to making the first thing the first thing and the main thing the main thing, and having our hardened hearts broken over the needs and pain of those that are around us, and saying, God, here I am, like Isaiah said, use me. Here I am, send me. And then he doesn't send us empty-handed.
Right.
He puts his spirit inside of us, and God actually does care about the people that are hurting around about us. And if we'll connect with him, he'll connect with us, and supernatural things will happen in our lives through other people to become a voice for them that will get their attention and help them return to God. I think the ministry of prophecy is a heart-turning ministry.
Hmm.
It turns people's hearts back to God. It calls out for repentance, which is a change of heart, change of mind, change of team, all of those things. It's a radical change. And so the prophetic ministry causes people's hearts to return to God.
Well, that's something I want to be a part of. I love doing that. And hopefully, you know, this whole discussion of the ministry of prophecy has gotten people excited, especially with Christmas this week. And you know, I thought this was such a perfect time to do this with Christmas coming up this week. You know, let's talk about how we can speak into people's lives and change their hearts towards Christ. You know, we always hear the cliche thing, well, he's the reason for the season. Most people don't understand why that is. And through the ministry of prophecy, we can help explain that. Instead of just telling them, hey, you should say Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays, because you miss the point when you do that. And it's one of my pet peeves. I'm like, I don't know how much that helps. You know, a holiday is a holiday. So they say Happy Holidays. Hey, thanks. I'm enjoying my holidays. Nice. I don't see what the big deal is with that. But we focus on that as opposed to what are their needs really, as opposed to what's their catchphrase and why do I not agree with it?
Absolutely. We need to learn how to really listen to people.
Amen.
And we need to learn how to ask wise questions. Jesus was the master at asking questions. And if his spirit is living inside of us, he wants us to be able to ask the right questions to people, to get them to open up their hearts. And then we need to learn how to listen. It's an art. It's a skill.
It's a lost art.
It can be learned. And if we would learn how to listen, if we could learn how to listen to people, we could learn how to hear the heart of God speak to the brokenness inside of people and see them return to God.
Well, Pastor Steve Williams joining us tonight here on Raw Talk as we talked about the ministry of prophecy. And, man, it's a gift for such a time as this, for sure. And I hope you've all been encouraged with this. Pastor, why don't you tell them a little bit when you guys do services at City Church of Albuquerque, the church phone number or the website where they can find out more information.
We have a website at citychurchabq.com. Our address is 3320 San Pedro Northeast. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. We have a great youth ministry that meets Wednesday nights at 6:30. We have a prayer gathering every Wednesday night at 6:30 in our church. We have small groups that meet all over the city. And so anyhow, that's who we are. But we're here to bless our city. We're here to bring life to our city. We're here to work with other churches and bring the presence of God into our city. We're here to see the kingdom of God grow and expand in the city of Albuquerque. We're here to help people know him.
Thank you so much for spending your time with me. It's been great. Like I said, you know, it was all a ruse. I just had questions I wanted to ask you. I'm like, I have my own radio show, so I know he's going to show up and answer my questions that way. No appointment necessary for that. I'll just have him come to me. But seriously, I do thank you for spending your time with me tonight.
You're welcome. It's a privilege.
Well, that's it for Raw Talk this evening. And like I was pointing out last week, next year we're going to shake things up a little bit as we do Raw Talk. Mandy Mayer is going to be joining me as a co-host, and we'll be doing things not radically different, but we're going to shake things up a little bit. Some of the things that we'll be talking about in January, and all this is tentative and could change. So, you know, if I don't do one of these programs, don't get upset at me. This is all kind of tentative, planning ahead. But we're going to talk about the will of God, how we can discover it, how we can carry it out in our lives and for our city and our nation. We'll discuss that. We're going to talk about church. Why don't people go to church anymore? Why do people feel like church isn't necessary anymore? We're going to take a closer look at that. And also, Newsweek stirred things up just recently with an article about gay marriage and whether or not the Bible actually supports it. So we're going to examine that in detail in January as well, and try and find out what the Bible really has to say without any, you know, extenuating contextual issues for people's own predisposition about what they believe. You can probably tell where I stand on this whole issue, but we'll get more into that next year, actually. And so thank you so much for joining me here on Raw Talk. We certainly appreciate your guys' support of M88 so we can do programs like Raw Talk. You guys make it happen. And if you'd like to support M88 and bless us this Christmas or support us for the coming year, you can join the stage crew for $19 a month or share a one-time donation or just let us know you're praying for us. That is such a huge blessing. Find out more when you visit M88.org. That's it for tonight. Have a shway evening in the Lord and have a very Merry Christmas.